Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Ralph Allroad Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Kenny McIntosh, Willie Sojourner, Joey Devine, Cliff Beely, Mike Newman, Sean Keane, Charlie Elberton, Patreons, Baron Muldelli, Franz. Thank you, Franz. Thank you, Barrett. Scott Leedy. Thank you, Scott. Always read the name. No actual real name, but thank you, always read the name. We read the name. Musical guest, Toto. And now the temporary host of Brown Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, and we are back with another brand new off-season episode. I'm here, as always, with permanent co-host Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm on the road.
You have been on the road a lot lately.
That's right. I'm a rambling man.
You are a
Just
rambling man.
Trying to make
man.
A living. I'm doing the best I can. I was in Mill Valley last night.
Oh, that's where my aunt lived.
Yeah.
Very boring place to be a child, Mill Valley.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, if you're not into other old people and wine and, like, scented soaps.
Weird jewelry stores. Before we get into our show, as always, it's time to talk about some business. If you like the show, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It's weird they only give 5 stars, blah, 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 that bit. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, Twitter at roundrockpod, email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. That's it, right? I did everything?
You did everything.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you, readers.
Sean, I have a question for you. Did you watch any of the USA basketball FIBA final? Not the final, but the one where they lost to France.
No, I didn't watch that game at all. I saw they lost and I was just like, yep.
So you have not heard how Tom Thibodeau was talking?
Oh, I have not. No.
Oh my God. Tom Thibodeau, it was 9/11. And it was 5 a.m. West Coast time, and Tom Thibodeau called the whole game like this. It sounded like he was both in remembrance of 9/11 and also asleep at the same time. So he'd be like France would do something crazy, and then he'd be like, "Oh, that's a great play right there. Oh, such a good play. Wow, what a screen." It sounded like he was locked in someone's closet calling the game. And was, like, afraid they were gonna find him.
Now, look, this is not...
Tom Thibodeau is the hider in the house, is what I'm saying.
I could definitely say that. I also feel like, this is about Tom Thibodeau and not the nation of China, but I feel like being in China would make Tom Thibodeau in particular, like, really uncomfortable.
That's
just because, like, his snacks weren't available.
But that's the thing. He was not in China. He was calling the game remotely from Bristol.
Oh, so he really was in a closet.
Yeah. ESPN only sent Brian Windhorst to China, I think.
Sending Winnie by himself to China also seems like... like, you're not sending... I don't know, maybe Wendy has a great time in China, but I have a feeling he doesn't.
Do you think Brian Windhorst found any deals in China at any stores?
Yes, he now has a lot of hookups for...
Like suits, right?
Yeah, he has what he thinks are hookups, but are actually just deals that are from the Wish app.
Yeah.
But also, I bet in China, and he started to talk about how, like, certain colors have a lot of power, people would be like, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're correct.
That's, yeah, you're not focusing enough on the Zodiac, but otherwise, yeah. you're coming at this from a pretty good angle, dude.
Also, Brian, what numbers have power?
Oh, my God. Yeah. See, like, this is going to open up. He's going to have, do you think he could get into, like, throwing the I Ching?
No, let's be honest.
Yeah, he probably. I don't think Brian Windhorst would consent to like a tarot card reading either.
No, Brian Windhorst is. I mean, he's the best. Don't get me wrong. I just don't get the feeling that he is open to a lot of different experiences.
No, he lives in Omaha, Nebraska, even though he covers the NBA.
I mean, he also, doesn't he feel like a guy who, like, either only eats white foods or doesn't eat white foods?
Uh-huh, absolutely. Yeah. And, like, I think he probably has a pretty strong opinion about, like, whether a sandwich should have a crust or not.
Yeah. All right, should we talk about some reader mail?
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to find Tibbs right now so I can play him here.
Okay.
For our listeners, because there is a reader question that I really like.
Yeah, and we need to get about that vibe.
So here is Tom Thibodeau calling the French game. The USA versus France FIBA game.
You see Gobert up a little bit more on pick and roll. Swarming defense by the US. Very good. Good ball pressure there.
Nicolo at the point.
Very good flipping screens. There's another post up.
And a steal.
Right there, Albisi, and that's what... again, five out offense. Barnes, great cut again. Right now, we have a quickness advantage and looking to spread them out. Kemba Walker has really picked up his defense in this tournament also. Very good, very physical. Fouls in the NBA, but that's not the way it's called here. Marcus Smart with great defense on Fournier. There's a little more aggression. Good rotation by Middleton, low man. He's playing with a lot more confidence. I like him. I think he's a good young player. They're very strong. Get you on his hip, create space.
And Smart.
Playing terrific, getting downhill. He's got great rhythm here.
24 points for the Jazz star.
Throughout the tournament, there's a good deflection, high hands, open floor. I think Pop has found a group here that's very effective. We haven't done that yet. And I think that's a good point. He's been through it before. Great offensive rebound there. Good extra pass.
Harris.
Wide open three.
Barnes knocks down the three. Off the high screen, Walker step back jumper knocks it down.
There, smart basketball.
Hey, Lakina.
Got to make sure you're up on him. And got the switch. Gobert in the post. Hey, you're making a great point.
All right, our first question comes from Feeling Minnesota, and it's about Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah!
And he asks, what activity in your life would you like spiced up with Tom Thibodeau's mundane, mumbling color commentary?
You know, I was thinking he would be like a hilarious bartender to have if he was narrating all his activities as well. Like cutting up some limes. This is what we got on draft.
That's not bad. I would like to hear him call my myself playing video games over a Twitch stream. Just like the worst Twitch stream in the world. Like an almost 40-year-old man poorly playing video games while a mumbling Tom Thibodeau is like not excited at all about it. You know,
and flashing back to his nightmare with Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler.
And he's just like, oh, you gotta reload your gun right there, or else the other team's gonna push you. They're throwing grenades. He's getting grenades at. Oh, they're throwing grenades at him. Oh my god, grenades. Oh, that's a good running away there.
He keeps calling the game 2 weeks because he doesn't understand the Fortnite fun.
How dare you think I play Fortnite, by the way? What am I, a child?
Haven't you played Fortnite before?
I've played it twice, I think. Oh, okay. It is not... I don't have... here's the thing about Fortnite, Sean. This is very boring, probably. But Fortnite is the only video game that's ever made me feel old when I played
it. Oh, no.
Because it's a lot about... making your character emote and do those dances the children do on Jumbotrons.
Yes.
It's also a lot of running around, but you also, like, build things and shoot people at the same time, and my brain could only do one because I was not raised on Minecraft like every other child.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And now, yeah, you got to be able to... Your multitasking goes in a different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, our next question comes from M. Burchett, and he asks, Sean and I were talking about Raymond Felton and Blazers fans being petty, which is okay. Fans get to be petty about stupid shit. It's fun. So what are your pettiest moments as a fan?
This is a good question. Now, I will thank M. Burchett for reminding me talking in the always popping off Discord chat that you get access to as a Patreon. I had forgotten that Raymond Felton challenged to fight everyone in Portland.
Mm-hmm. He did.
I didn't realize he was like, here's where I live. Come fight me. Your hands will get stuck in my squishy belly. I guess that's actually the blob from the Marvel universe that I'm describing in novel. Who do I have like a petty feud? You know, there's a lot of Warriors where I feel like they deserved it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like with Mike Dunleavy Jr. Is it petty to hate Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
No.
No, it's not. Like that's many years of being terrible.
I do think I will say I was petty to David Lee the entire time he was a Golden State Warrior.
Oh, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. Because, like, that's interesting that that's a guy who... It's, like, the perfect recipe for inviting some scorn. Because a guy who's, like, not so bad that he wouldn't play and still does some good things, but is, like, overpaid and forced the Warriors to send away Anthony Randolph.
Well, and he was blocking the Warriors' best player for two seasons, basically. I mean, second best player for two seasons, where everyone who was watching was like, just play Draymond at power forward, bench David Lee. But each coach had to wait for David Lee to get hurt several times to play Draymond Green at power forward.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond Green, Mark Jackson would play him at the two and three occasionally.
Yeah.
And that was not great.
And Steve Kerr didn't even have him in the rotation when he first started his job.
Right. Yeah.
That is an important thing to remember about Steve Kerr for you non-Warrior fans out there. When he started as the Golden State Warriors head coach, he wasn't sure the team should keep Draymond Green until David Lee got hurt and he started playing him at the correct position.
I mean, he's also the man who traded for Shaq to play with Steve Nash in 2008.
Yeah. Dude likes conventional lineups. It's almost like this team is a curse. And you know what? I'm going to say it right now. I'm probably pretty petty to Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... I guess that's... Yeah, that's probably fair. The thing is, though, it's... The difference between David Lee and Steve Kerr is that, like, David Lee, you feel a little bad about it because... David Lee, like, you know, he really did help the team get better. He just happened to be a worse fit than Draymond, who, you know, was not even on the team for his first 2 years. Mm-hmm. With Steve Kerr, feels like he gets a lot of slack.
Yeah.
he seems like he's had a lot of winning. Now, I know his back hurts, but, like, he got the Warriors' job in part because he golfed with an incredibly rich man regularly.
Here's a question, Sean. If and when Steve Kerr leaves, is Joe Lacob just going to hire another TV commentator?
I mean, it depends on who hangs out with him, I think. Because, yeah, because he's got Jackson and Kerr.
Uh-huh.
Time for Jeff Van Gundy?
No, I think I know who it is. It's going to be Brent Berry, right?
I mean, is it worth the gamble of increasing Rick Barry's access to the team?
Oh, fair point. Excellent point.
Because I don't know if Rick and Brent get along, honestly.
I don't think they do.
I think that a lot of Rick Barry's children, much like a lot of Rick Barry's acquaintances, don't like to spend a lot of time with him.
Should I play Rick Barry yelling at the Warriors fans right now?
Yes, all right. Please do.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. I already said that. Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on.
All right. Yeah, I think that's... I generally don't consider myself a very petty fan, though, actually.
No, it's...
Because I'm always, like, my reaction to rooting for bad teams has always been like, oh, of course, this is my fault for rooting for this team. Like, I
Why
knew this was gonna anything? Happen. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like... A lot of the guys who have come to the Warriors and not been, like, it's hard to resent Anderson Varejão for simply being old and Steve Kerr playing him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel the same thing about, like, Festus Ezeli, where it's kind of like, well, that guy was doing his best.
Well, I even love guys that the shitty Warriors overpaid and played too much and they were terrible. Like, I love Calbert Chaney.
Calvert Chaney that really demonstrates everything about the Warriors' decision making, which almost feels like they just remembered him from college.
Yeah, I love Speedy Claxton. You know what I mean?
I do like Speedy Claxton a lot, actually. Yeah, is there any Warrior? I'm trying to think of who like was a real weapon. I guess Derek Fisher, but there's just so many real reasons.
There's a lot. Yeah, I hate Derek Fisher for reasons outside of.
I hated him before he got there. I hated him when he was there. I hated him more when he left.
Yeah.
I hate him more now. Well, like every time I learn something about Derek Fisher, I hate him more.
Well, and the other reason to hate Derek Fisher is he, as a Warrior fan, is he was their second choice behind Brent Berry, actually, speaking of Brent Berry.
That's right.
And Brent Berry was super fun and cool, and then you get Derek fucking Fisher.
Oh, my God. Like, God, just a con artist in every sense of the word.
But yeah, like, I love Andres Biedrins still.
Yeah, man. Monte. It's still like Monte.
I mean, we all hate Corey Maggette, but that is...
And even that is like, it's just such a, it is a maddening form of basketball.
Yeah.
But like, if I saw Corey Maggette, I would be happy to see him.
Yes. But I'd like, never want to watch him play basketball.
No,
again.
No, it's just, and the decision to sign him was so terrible. And, you know, and basically they got exactly what they should have expected from Corey Maggette. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just. You know, that's an awful thing to have delivered to your house every day.
But yeah, even somebody who Warriors fans hated at the time, like Larry Riley, is like popular now because they're like, hey, he drafted Steph Curry, even though he also did 8 million other terrible things.
Yeah, yeah. Just anyone who wasn't Chris Cullen or
Robert Rowell.
Robert Rowell. God, where do you think that guy is now?
I don't know. I can't explain to our listeners who he is right now, so we got to move on.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's too crazy. I'm gonna try to find him on LinkedIn, and I'm gonna recommend this team for him.
All right. And our friend John Sullivan asks: 10 years in, the worst thing we got from The Dark Knight is that future directors thought that 3-hour superhero movies were an acceptable thing. What thing from the last decade of NBA disruption / thinkfluencing do you think misinterpreted what actually helped teams enjoyably win basketball games?
I will start off by saying Batman Begins is almost as long as The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, that movie's way too long. It is. Okay, so the last decade of thinkfluencing.
I mean, I know. I think I know what it is. It's the fucking the Nets trade.
People are
now overvaluing first round picks.
Oh, because they
saw the Nets crater and the Celtics fly, and it's like, I get that first round picks are valuable, but they're not worth like $15 million players.
Well, the other thing that was just very strange about that trade is it was a weird move to, I mean, okay, obviously they gave up way too much. It is completely insane that Bobby Marks is allowed to be an NBA authority after that happened. I also kind of feel like they were probably getting pressure from Mikhail Prokhorov, who was just like, make the deal happen. You know, we want big tickets. But the year before they made the trade, they won 49 games.
Yeah.
You know, they did lose in the playoffs, but like, it wasn't like a team that needed detonation, I would say.
But also, I don't think it's even the worst trade that Nets team made involving a draft pick.
Oh yeah, the trade where they trade Lillard for the Gerald Wallace.
Yeah, that's a worse trade for sure. but generally just mean like I think that first round picks are overvalued now. They were undervalued, but now it's like it's the Moneyball thing where now on base percentage is an overpay in baseball.
Well, let me, I'm going to say that I think actually the idea that every shot should be a three-pointer or a layup is just this misguided approach that just like pretends like the playoffs don't exist. You know what I mean? Like it, I know that teams will shoot a lot of three-pointers and succeed, but just this idea that you should be locked in, that efficiency is the most important thing rather than like diversity and having different options. And I mean, a lot of that is just driven by, it's really easy to look at the numbers and see that. It's like, it's very easy to go to Basketball Reference and just be like, oh, offensive rating, oh, three-point rate. And it just, for the most part, has not really been the winning philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a lot of mid-ranging that has been necessary for a lot of teams.
I kind of disagree with that one because at least I'm into layups and threes. It's just more fun to watch.
I don't really like people taking like 53s in the game. I find that kind of unwashable.
Like the
Rockets.
I found it fun to watch. Well, but the Rockets are not fun to watch for other reasons, like because they pass one time of possession if they pass at all. That to me is more the thing that makes the Rockets unwatchable. But to me, I like the corner three-pointer. I like, I don't know. But, oh, I totally forgot what I was going to say. I get not liking that, but also I found basketball where guys would dribble twice to the elbow and shoot every single time also incredibly boring to watch, or as I like to call it, the Kobe Bryant form of basketball.
But I am going to say that boring Kobe thing has a better track record of success than the Rockets model.
I mean, sure. It has a worse track of success than the Golden State Warriors model, though, as well.
No, that is true.
I just think ball movement is actually more important. That's partly the problem with what the Rockets have done. The thing about first round picks, though, is like, okay, so like if you remember when the this is becoming like a Warriors podcast, but
Ooh.
Like, I hate talking about Kill the Warriors, em. But like people being like, when the Warriors traded 3 first round picks to get off Andres Biedrins and sign Andre Iguodala, like if you look at the, like people's trade grades, they were like, I don't know, that's too many first round picks for Andre Iguodala. And it's like, okay, so they ended up trading Gorgui Jang. And like, I don't even remember who the other 2 picks ended up being for Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, it's, you see it very quickly that everybody. The problem is that I think there's a lot of very quick analysis to a trade and just looking at stuff on paper. But look at so Atlanta was acquiring a bunch of first round picks recently. And, you know, they traded Luka Doncic because it was like, well, we get a lottery pick next year and we're only moving down 2 spaces. And then 1 year later, they had so many picks that they were just selling them off.
Right.
And packaging them. And it was like, it was 1 year after they started this pick acquisition process. And a lot of that's what's happened with the Sixers. If you look at what they did with all their hoard of second round picks, they're all just like getting sold off. And like there's a such thing as just having
too many players.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah.
Let me tell you who the Warriors did give up, along with Andres Biedrins, Richard Jefferson, and Brandon Rush. The picks became Rodney Hood, Ty Wallace, Josh Hart, and Alpha Kaba.
Mm-hmm. And then the Rodney Hood, doesn't one of those becomes Gorgie Jang somehow. I don't remember exactly how. It's like they trade one of the picks for two picks, right?
I'm sure they do. They also trade a second rounder who becomes big white guy, Thomas Welsh.
Okay. Either way.
Yeah, like, regardless.
Those are Josh Hart and Rodney Hood are like fine players, but wouldn't you rather have Andre Iguodala for 4 years and win three championships? That's kind of just the point I'm making. I'm just using that as an example because I know it the best. I just think once you have to make a pick, it's immediately not worth a guy you know already exists for the most part. Like, what? There's like maybe three impact players in a draft every year, and that's if it's a pretty good draft.
You know, and it's good to have these guys, but like the clock already starts so quickly on people's cap moves. It's like, you know, Marco Fultz is going into his third year and he makes $10 million. And I'm not saying he's overpaid necessarily, but you don't get that much slack in terms of your cap management and everything. But, you know, you can look at the guys from the 2017 draft. And it's already like even in like the lottery, there's a bunch of guys where you're like, I don't know about that. It's 2 years ago. You've got Josh Jackson. Like you could argue that there's been no NBA value from Fultz, the first pick, Josh Jackson, the fourth pick. The Magic have gotten very little out of Jonathan Isaac. Knicks have not gotten a lot out of Frankie Smokes at 8 or Dennis Smith at 9.
Hey, Frankie Smokes is a hero of FIBA this year, though.
Yeah, he's a FIBA hero. But yeah, it's just like, it's a lot of, you know, we're 2 years out of the lottery, and almost half the guys in the lottery are, I don't know, Josh Jackson had negative value in that trade this summer, so.
But yeah, I just think, and I love first-round picks. I love the draft. I love young players, but at this point, they're overvalued. I would rather have, you know, a guy who's I know is going to be in the league than 4 years than a guy that might be in the league in 7. You know,
a guy like D'Angelo Russell. That's who you give up the first round picks for.
I mean, I'm not that into D'Angelo Russell. We know this, but I do kind of. Well, that trade is weird. I mean, I think they maybe didn't need to trade all those picks to get off Andre Iguodala, but anyway.
Yeah, that was a weird... That whole transaction thing seems like a weird combination of Kevin Durant being offended that the Warriors weren't trading more for him, and the amplified voice of Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Which, love learning that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is now in charge of the my favorite team. Very tight. Love Mike Dunleavy Jr. All right, should we go to the news?
Yeah, let's go.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. I haven't read this story yet because I wanted to not know about it and hear you explain it to me. Please, please, please explain our top story right now.
Okay, well... Joey, I'm glad you asked. Our top story this week, Michael Jordan has finally achieved his destiny. Recently, we were introduced to red-eyed, just blazed as hell.
Party Jordan.
Turns up, Party Jordan. Tequila Jordan. He's been known. Just that Michael Jordan's famous passion for basketball, gambling, and competitiveness has turned into an intense love of tequila. And now Michael Jordan has started a tequila business with three other NBA owners, including Roundball favorite and Just for Laughs 2020 invitee Jeannie Buss, amateur stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they've invested in a company called Cinco Row tequila, which is like, I guess, five and gold mashed together.
Weird.
I don't think Cinco means anything in Spanish, Joey. I think it is supposed to be like, no, it's just supposed to mean five gold. That's it.
Okay, great.
His co-founders are this woman whose name is, hold on,
Amelia Fazzolari.
Amelia Fazzolari. She is married to Wick Grosbeck, the
Celtics owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So apparently, what started was Michael Jordan was at Pasquale Jones, which is a trendy pizza joint in Manhattan's Nolita neighborhood.
Okay. Fuck, never heard of that.
Not a neighborhood, bitch. And for some reason, Michael Jordan was having dinner with Jeannie Buss, the Bucks owner, Wes Edens, Wick Grosbeck.
Wes Edens is a bad guy, right? We've learned that. Or is it the other one?
They're both bad for different reasons. Mark Lazary is
It's Mark Lazary, not Wes Edens, that's in the sex dungeon lawsuit, right?
No, I think Mark Lazary, I believe, is tied to... Wes Edens is the sex dungeon, the Wall Street sex dungeon guy. Mark Lazary is the guy who got pulled. His ambassadorship got pulled because he's like a degenerate gambler.
Oh, I'm okay with that. That's cool. Being a gambler is cool.
Also definitely in with Epstein.
Oh, that sucks.
He's from the same hedge fund tree. He got caught in the Russian poker laundering thing that the Molly's game was connected to.
Cool. I love Molly's game.
So
but Wes Edens is in the sex dungeon lawsuit, correct?
Wes Edens is sex dungeon. Mark Lazary is Epstein gambling and probably a friendship with Tobey Maguire, which might be the most troubling of all of those. Okay, so they all are having dinner together at this pizza place.
In what neighborhood again?
This is in Nolita?
That's not a neighborhood in New York.
Yeah. and the reason is, and he was just waiting forever because Michael Jordan accidentally made the reservation for a week ahead. So because they all were hanging out, there is a ridiculous picture of this tequila empire where they're all wearing, like, all the dudes are wearing those Louis C.K. tight
black t-shirts
that I'm kind of fat black t-shirts. Yeah. Uh-huh. I gotta get some of those, by the way, Joey. That it's about time.
It's the Gordon Ramsay t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
The also the Simon Cowell one.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. So all these,
you know, you're not allowed to believe in God if you own that t-shirt, right?
No, you can't. You can't. If you have it or not, you can't. Oops, did I offend you? Do you get triggered, Joey? Sorry about that. This is a hilarious story on Forbes, by the way. But so they all ended up at the hostess stand because these five billionaires couldn't make a fucking restaurant reservation.
Wait a second. Michael Jordan is not a billionaire.
You're right. Well, he might be now that he sold a chunk of the Hornets. Yeah, you're right. Michael Jordan has made over $1 billion, but that doesn't make you a billionaire.
You know what? Okay, according to Business Insider, he's worth $1.9 billion. My bad.
I mean, I think he just makes... He still gets royalties on the Jordans of, 35% or something.
Yeah.
So, somehow, Michael Jordan made them all start talking about tequila. He says, it's the only spirit that feels like an upper. It's low calorie and can feel lighter hangover.
Wait a second.
This is some Bob Woodward ass.
Will you read that quote again, please? Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a little more. With no room at the bar, the group found themselves cramped by the hostess stand and started talking about tequila, Jordan's spirit of choice, which the Italian restaurant didn't serve, but they had all been drinking when they met up earlier at Soho House. Ugh.
Oh, it's were the Pod Save spirit. America guys there?
Yeah, they live in the L.A. one with Beto and
Pete Buttigieg.
A bunch of like Raytheon lobbyists, probably. It's the only spirit that feels like an upper, they agreed, and it's low calorie and can yield a lighter hangover. By the time they were seated, this multi-billion-dollar table was discussing the specific characteristics they wished they could find on the shelf. A tequila with a smooth, long finish, like a fine cognac or whiskey. And then, then Fazzolari says, that's when we realized there was an opportunity on the market to create a new tequila, a better tequila. We let our hair down and become true friends that night. This seems like the group that I would think could improve on tequila, Joey. The owner of the Celtics, sex creep Wes Edens, raging alcoholic Michael Jordan, sex creep Michael Jordan.
Okay, Michael Jordan isn't a sex creep, but you know he might be.
he's like a competitiveness creep. He's like a
sociopath.
He's like a human he's a sociopath. He's a human interaction, no tipping. Other people aren't really real creep.
Don't forget, what's Jeannie Buss?
Jay Moore's girlfriend.
Oh come on, that's not fair.
I mean, she's dated Phil Jackson and Jay Moore. That's a freak. That's a freak, Joey.
All right, keep going.
So their parent company is called Cinco Spirits Group.
Uh-huh.
Because there were five of them. Cinco. And coincidentally, Joey, that's how many players are on a basketball team.
Mm. It's also one less rings than Michael Jordan has.
Yeah. Apparently they sold. Oh yeah, that's Kobe's rings. Kobe's only a red wine guy, though. They talk how they have a Pappy Van Winkle like strategy where low production leads to a cult like following. I don't know what that means. Pappy Van Winkle?
It's a really famous whiskey that is very, very expensive.
Oh, I thought it was like a Washington Irving thing. Like, it was like, this guy was asleep for 200 years.
No,
that's why his whiskey's so good.
No, Pappy Van Winkle is like, it's like the foodies whiskey, and it's really expensive.
Yeah. Well, this is also gross, because they're talking about how, they're trying to compete in the ultra luxury market, which is expanding by 40%. So they're really trying to wait until they've aged their tequila enough to sell it for like $2,000 a bottle. Mm-hmm.
So the cheapest bottle of Van Winkle you can buy is $100.
Okay, yeah. So with the Cinco tequila, wow, the U.S. consumes 56% of the worldwide supply of tequila. That's kind of crazy. Okay, so they have. I can't tell how much they go for, but they've got one that's aged 8 to 10 months, one that's aged 24 to 28, and then the extra Añejo is like $2,000.
Cool. Very cool. Does it come with a pair of big-ass jeans?
It should. That's what they should come in, like a denim sleeve, right? So the cheapest bottle is $130. Most expensive bottle is $1,600. And then, let's see. Is it worth it? What does Forbes.com say? It's actually just manufactured in a Jalisco distillery, which bottles 96 other tequilas. Mm-hmm. This is a scam, Joey.
Yeah, of course it is. Michael Jordan.
Oh, it's aged in whiskey barrels.
Uh-huh. Can you read about the bottle, please?
Yeah, please. Okay, so
I want to know what the bottle looks like, because bet it's dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb, Joey. It looks really stupid. I mean, okay, don't really think that tequila bottles look that cool anyway. It seems like there's a lot of emphasis on the design there. But Jordan basically made a VP at Nike design the bottle for him, it looks like.
Very cool, very cool.
They've got a five-sided crystal container, which is a reference to the five leaves of the agave plant.
And the five incompetent NBA owners that own it.
And it tilts upward at a 23-degree angle because of Michael Jordan, which, fuck this tequila, Joey.
I wish it tilted up. Is there a, like, what number degree would it have to tilt up in a nod to Genie Bus?
69 degrees? Oh, I don't know.
Is that because that's how old Phil Jackson, how much older Phil Jackson is than her?
Yeah, he's 69% older than her. That's the only thing.
All right.
Now, okay, so the last thing I want to say is they claim they tasted 1,000 different tequila blends before settling on a flavor. Joey, does this begin to explain some of the decisions these teams have made over the past 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah, just like, that's a lot of tequila to drink.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, Lance Stevenson. Terry Rozier. Like that's how that Terry Rozier trade happened. Michael Jordan and Wick Grosbeck just hammered on off-brand Jalisco things that they're tricking the American public. And they're like, yeah, give them a four-year deal. All right, let's trade something. That sounds good. Like, all right.
All right, let's talk about our last, or I guess we have a couple more stories, sorry. Let's talk about my man, my hero, food, the only man banned from competitive eating.
Yeah.
Kobayashi.
Mm-hmm.
Takeru Kobayashi, I believe his first name is.
Yeah. Now this is the, yeah, he's not, Kaiser Soze's lawyer. So this is the most dramatic international competition of the week involving an NBA player. Miami Heat's Bam Adebayo was competing in a cheeseburger eating contest with Kobayashi, the greatest competitive eater of all time. Is that correct? I mean, look,
no.
Don't add us, Joey Chestnut stands.
Look, Joey Chestnut has definitely won a lot more and eaten a lot more hot dogs, but Joey Chestnut looks like a guy who would eat a ton of hot dogs. Kobayashi does not, and that's what makes him better.
He weighs like 140 pounds.
And he has six-pack abs.
Yeah.
And I believe he's the one who invented the grossest thing in the world, which is dipping everything in water.
Oh yeah, that's worse than any other NBA innovation in terms of making a sport unwatchable in terms of efficiency. Also, like, the water's colored. Are people sometimes dipping it in Gatorade?
Is that what's Joey Chestnut, I believe, dips it in Gatorade, yes.
Wow, you made it more repulsive, Joey Chestnut. Congratulations. And congratulations to the city of San Jose. So Bam Adebayo is competing head-to-head with Kobayashi. They had 5 minutes to eat as many cheeseburgers as possible. I believe Kobayashi does have the world record for eating burgers. How many do you think Kobayashi managed to eat in 5 minutes, Joey?
I'm gonna guess like 17.
He managed to eat 20.
Oh wait, and how long?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, he was taking it easy. I think.
I think so too. I think these seem like bigger. I think because they're cheeseburgers, I think they had more stuff on them.
Okay.
He was definitely still dipping them in water, though.
Yeah, for sure.
How many do you think Bam Adebayo managed to eat in 5 minutes?
I think I personally could eat, I don't know, 3 cheeseburgers in 5 minutes.
It seems reasonable.
And Bam Adebayo's like a giant man.
Yeah, he's 7 feet tall. I think he weighs like 250, probably.
He could probably eat 5 cheeseburgers.
He ate one cheeseburger.
Excuse me?
He ate one cheeseburger.
Was, Pat Riley there holding a gun to his head? Is that why he only ate one?
I think it is, because he was like, oh, this is a good charity event. I got to get back to the gym. And he mentioned in the interview that he'd been measured at 7% body fat. So, yeah, I'm going to say this. Not only did he go back to the gym and do extra work because Pat Riley was sending him angry texts and sending him, like, secret shirtless photos of him looking fat. But I think – I'm pretty sure that Bam Adebayo threw up that cheeseburger in the bathroom.
Well, that's hilarious. What NBA player would you like to see compete against Kobayashi in an eating contest?
Okay. Look, there's been a constant theme in the program. I'm ready for Dwight Howard to just really get fat. I think he could eat a lot of burgers. I think he would just dip them in powdered sugar instead of water. I think the farting could distract Kobayashi. Aside from that, Bam himself said that he thought Myers Leonard would have done really well in the competition.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah.
Because I think Myers Leonard works out a lot and is probably constantly trying to get protein. And
plus he's intense in the kind of like in the kind of pointless intensity you'd need for an eating competition.
When I imagine Myers Leonard competing at like his top level, it's him playing an incredibly aggressive brand of tetherball and just like swamping the thing around and just going like, yeah, you want some of that? And I can see him doing that to his own mouth, like being like, you want some of that, Myers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then just historically, I think Hito Turkoglu could have done extremely well.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Tony Kukoc as well. You just tell him there's a game in 90 minutes, and he's like, well, I gotta definitely consume 4,500 calories before.
Well, doesn't this seem like one of those like legendary stories of Boris Diaw, where he like casually walks in on a cheeseburger eating competition and then eats 17 in 2 minutes and then is like, what's the big deal? And then walks out.
Oh, you won. And the clock's still running.
And he's like, oh, there was a competition? Well, whatever. I'm out of here.
I'm going to make an espresso in my car.
So that's my choice, is Boris Diaw.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
All right, let's just real quickly run through Team USA and then get out of here. We'll talk about Heath Ledger's ghost on the Patreon later this week.
Perfect.
So Team USA, we talked about it a little at the top. Finished seventh at the FIBA World Cup. My first question, Sean, who cares about this?
No one cares. Like Bill Simmons kind of tried to care. And then even he lost interest. So no one cares. Even like, look, I respect everybody who's still writing about this. And Dan Devine wrote a good column from The Ringer about like the future of Team USA. But the whole time, it's just so hard to look at it and not just be like, well, they weren't able to get 32 of their top 36 choices. It's like, yeah, I guess that. What's the real problem with the team? Mason Plumlee was able to make it. That's like inherently the problem.
Somebody was arguing with me earlier this week. I forget who it was that was like, well, you know, in a couple of years, the world could one of the world could win it, even if the USA brought their best players. And I was like, no, if the US really sent all their best players, the difference is, like Serbia would have one Jokic. Uh-huh. And the USA would have 12.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely something to be said for these kind of golden generation teams mm-hmm. that have played together a lot. You know, like Ricky Rubio and Marc Gasol have been playing together on the international team for like 11 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely saw that from Argentina too, where it's just like, you know, like they play a lot internationally, and especially guys who aren't even bound to the NBA, where it's like, yeah, obviously Luis Scola is going to have better chemistry with Team Argentina than, you know, Jaylen Brown and Harrison Barnes are going to have. But no, it's like the closest it came, I guess the gold medal game in 2008 was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with like the greatest team in the history of Spain.
Right.
Yeah, dude, but like,
congratulations, Ricky Rubio, on winning MVP.
Oh, hell yeah.
We love him. He's one of our favorite little babies.
Look, dude, he always plays well on the big stage.
Sean,
you're going to regret losing him. All the teams that, just like the Wolves, regretted losing him.
All right, that's our show. Sean.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
I got a thing about coaches that are going to get fired. We did have to cut the portion where I argue against Luke Walton's continued employment in any job, but I think he might just get regular fired for basketball reasons, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can read that on Yard Barker. And then Sacramento Punchline this weekend, the 19th through the 21st. Is that right? Yes. Hit me up. Send me a DM. I can probably hook you up with some guest lists, particularly Thursday night when I'm headlining.
All right. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I tweeted possibly the saddest thing I've ever tweeted. Write a book so you can remember. Hashtag hey 19-year-old me.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sean, did you write a song?
I did. It's a tribute to a recently deceased musician, Rick Ocasek.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Daniel Johnston.
Oh, well that maybe later. This is that one hit me too hard. Even though I did learn R.A.P. Eddie Money. My grandpa used to drink with Eddie Money, apparently. And
Sincoro Tequila.
I guess that's right. Yeah. I asked about it because my grandpa would only call him Eddie Mahoney.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked my dad, I'm like, how did he know him? And he's like, oh, he knew Eddie's Coke dealer. So now I'm like, what was my grandpa's life? Like, what was he doing? Anyway, RIP, Coke fiend and Geico salesman, Eddie Mo.
All right. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all remember that tequila is the only alcohol that feels like an upper. Something about hangovers. All right. We'll be back later this week with a Patreon episode.
Yeah!
Summer NBA's upside down. The Mavs were a bummer. Just brought Seth Curry to town. I see them trade for DeLon Wright and his 7 points per game. A young team, but the wheels are spinning. They'll lose a lot of games. They need a bigger name. I got a trade for you. Got a trade for you. Got a trade for you. That's right. Put the hot stove on, replace Jose Juan. They gotta get Goran. Uh-oh, it's tragic. He's a slow beam. Uh-oh, it's tragic. Dude needs a new team. I got a trade for you. Oh, conflicted about future cap space. The Knicks got grifted. Don't worry about Hardaway. I see Courtney Lee dribbling, then losing the ball. How long are you quibbling? Till Donnie realizes the tragic is your guy. I got a scoring two. Zoran's not coming through. Let's get a W tonight. Goran could score and pass. Phoenix traded his ass. Mark Cuban's really crass. That's right. Uh-oh, it's tragic. He's on the block. Retweets from Magic. His yacht is at the dock. I got a trade for you. Man, imagine how sweet it sounds up there in heaven. Rick Ocasek jamming with Daniel Johnston. Eddie Money's singing. And on the drums, Jeffrey Epstein. Ow! That's rock and roll heaven, baby. Tragic.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.